That's okay. That's okay. It is. It's like, to me, this is like Easter because you're all coming back from the dead. not really dead, but it's just so good. I mean, that's your presence, your absence has been felt on the Discord server and in conversations. And so it's just so good to see you guys. Jeff, I've talked to a couple of times, but the rest of you, I really haven't. So maybe that, since I'm recording anyway, maybe I should give some context of what we're doing and who's here. And this is, well, someone explain, because I wasn't even up to speed on how this whole thing started. So would someone please tell me about this rapture that we just had and are released from?
I nominate Andrew. Yeah, I was about to say I blame Andrew, but
I don't know who
Eric worded it a little better.
I know that Job was also very on board with it in the beginning. So
I think I proposed it over a year ago in the Clean Your Room server.
Yeah, I definitely like Job and I were kind of on the forefront of like pushing it to be a thing. But yeah, so what we did was Exodus 90, and so it's 90 days. We started January 4th, and the three main parts of it are prayer, asceticism, and fasting. And so there's different disciplines within that. And it's basically to intensify and lengthen a Lent experience. And the history is kind of like, who's these guys in Catholic seminary who started it, who used it kind of as a intensifying the seminary experience for those. And then they kind of branched it out and were like, hey, we could bring this to like also lay people who aren't in a seminary to give other people this experience.
Well, I want to dive into that more, but let's do some introductions first, because I know who you all are, but not everyone who watches my channel knows who you all are. So Job is probably the one that's best known because we actually have a chronicle of him on the channel. So if you have Job, raise your hand, Job, because the names don't come through. Job needs no introduction. I'll leave the list of his actually the playlist that we have of Job. Jeff has been on the channel a couple of times. Raise your hand, Jeff. Just say a word or two about yourself, Jeff.
I mean, I, like many people, Paul, found you through a YouTube algorithm, thanks to watching Jordan Peterson and I guess some other things that tie you to, you know, things that are watched on YouTube. And I feel like my story is pretty similar to a lot of people that you talk to. How they got to you, why they got to you, you know, religious upbringing, having difficulty finding a place to fit, or at least feeling like you fit. So anyway, yeah, that's how I found you. And I talked to you a couple of times, and then I started meeting other people who had talked to you before the Discord server was born. And, you know, one of those first people was Job. Job reached out to me after I had talked to you the first time. And Luke is another person. He reached out to me. And so we all started talking and having, you know, we were using the internet to have our conversations, but we started forming a community before anything like a Discord community was around. So I've said more about myself than I should. I guess one other thing is, off of a whim, I started the Randos United channel having no idea what I was doing. And the only thing that's different about that and now is a bunch of people send me conversations that they want to have put up on YouTube, but I still have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, so 3 years ago, Job was an atheist. Jeff was his evangelical, something like that.
Pre-evangelical.
All right. And Andrew, I don't think, you and I ever done a conversation on my channel, Andrew? I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
Okay, so you really have to introduce yourself. Don't worry, Eric, we're getting to you, but you're wearing a collar, so that's tipping people off.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew. I currently in Maine. I've been taking a semester off, but I was a university student. Yeah, I guess how I got to this internet was also kind of through Jerome Peterson, and then just, you know, actually, well, Job first invited me to the Discord before I knew you, Paul. And that was through a complaint that I put in about the Jordan Peterson Discord that was bad. And Job somehow saw it, and he sent me an invite to here. So to the Discord, to Bridges of Meaning. So, and then I watched some of your videos. And I was like, okay. But yeah, I'm Catholic. So,
and you're from New Jersey.
Yeah, originally from New Jersey. Correct. Yep.
How nice.
Not too far from Patterson.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah. That's a little introduction, I guess.
Okay. And Eric, I've never had you on the channel either, but you've been around the Discord server for a little while. So, how about a little bit more of your story?
Yeah. So, I am a Catholic priest, very recently ordained in North Dakota. Ordination was in August, and I'm at my first parish. I ran across, I think it was first the video of you responding to Jordan Peterson on the YouTube algorithm, and I liked some of the stuff that you were doing. And then one time, it was at the beginning of all the lockdowns last March, you talked about this Discord server, and I'm like, well, there's not much going on, so I'll just go check this out. And like my very first day on the Discord server, I asked a question, and it was one of your Friday Q&As, and I've just been interested in the conversations that are happening there and all the wacky characters that show up. Andrew, or I think it was Job, who put the challenge out for the Exodus 90 thing, I was like, I think that would be good for me. So
tell me about your parish in North Dakota.
So we're in southeastern North Dakota. Our town's got about 8,000 people living in it. So that makes it one of the bigger towns in the region, because, you know, North Dakota. It's got a railway running through it, which I think it was originally a railway town, and it's got a fair amount of manufacturing around. I don't know how we swung that, but there's all sorts of like farming manufacturing around. And most conspicuously, when there's a north wind, we've got a sugar beet processing facility just to the north of town. And when that north wind is blowing, you know it's there, because that is just a special olfactory assault.
I can imagine.
We have a paper mill. That smells great.
Well, let's get back to the Exodus 90. So Andrew found it, talked about it with Job. Let's first talk about what were your motivations for trying it or doing it. Or maybe describe first what you did.
Sure. So as Andrew said, there was the three pillars of prayer, fraternity, and asceticism. So you commit to a holy hour every day, and they kind of walk you through how to do that. And doing a nightly examine, and they walk you through how to do that. So that's kind of the big chunks of the prayer. Then there's the fraternity. So you have an anchor that you check in with every day on how you did on all of the disciplines. And then we had a weekly fraternity meeting. And since we were scattered across different states, that all happened over Discord. Then there's the asceticism, which is where all the fun begins. So you fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, fasting defined the Catholic way, where you can have a full meal and two snacks that don't add up to that full meal. No meat on Fridays, no alcohol during the duration, Wednesdays and Fridays, no alcohol during the duration of it, no sweets during the duration of it, no unnecessary internet, television, or sports during the duration, and cold showers every morning.
And that's not even all of it. but
did I miss something?
You're probably missing a couple. And you also missed that we had a reading every day.
Reading, yes.
And there were no non-essential purchases.
Oh, no video games.
No video games.
Yeah.
The holy hour.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the fraternity was having a daily check-in meeting with your anchor. So that's another person that you partnered up with to kind of keep you accountable throughout the time.
I'm checking the list over here because I've had it on my wall this whole 90 days. only listen to music that lifts your, is it your soul? Soul. To God?
Yep.
So like Box Passion Chorale.
Or Byzantine chant.
Yeah. I did find some Christian death metal, but it's still kind of noisy.
Okay, so why did each of you decide to do this?
I'll start, I guess. I think for me, I just wanted to have a more intense Lenten experience. And also, you know, it's longer, so it's and to deepen my faith as well, and to really like solely like put my, have that like faith where it's like I'm really only trusting like what God has, and also like trying to learn about myself as well through it, like because I'm putting myself in a position that I've never been before. So like that's an opportunity for me to learn about myself and how I react to different situations. So I think, yeah, those are like my two reasons, deepening faith and learning about myself.
So the interesting thing is we had to write a why when we started. Yeah. Like, what are your reasons?
I don't think I wrote mine.
And I could just read mine because I brought it up. It says, I want to be free from the constant desire for screens, dopamine hits, and mindless entertainment. To stop having Discord, Twitter, and YouTube take a primacy in my mind when I wake up and when I get home. To be more positioned in life, to control instead of being controlled. To become a great father, to be a better husband, to support my wife during the remaining 6 months of pregnancy. To focus on study, to read books, to be active in community and church, to be in shape, to be the man God wants me to be. That last line doesn't stop feeling weird, but I wrote it down anyway.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How about you, Jeff or Eric? Did you write a why?
We did. I've got mine right here. I'll just read the first paragraph. I wish to be free of my attachment to physical comfort and mental distraction. This manifests itself as spending excessive time reading news, watching YouTube videos, playing video games, binging Netflix, sleeping in, and forgoing exercise.
Mm. Now, Eric, you're a single guy, I assume.
Correct.
Hope so. Really.
And
hope so.
You know, again, as a Protestant who's a married pastor, I, you know, wife, children, I mean, my life is kept quite busy with a lot of external demands. And so I would imagine as a single man, you know, it's so weird because, I mean, people look at me because I'm a minister through a certain lens, because I'm a minister, but because you're a Roman Catholic priest, I look at you through a certain lens. And so I really, you know, I really appreciate your paragraph. And as I think about now, if I were Roman Catholic, if I were a Roman Catholic priest and I didn't have a wife and I didn't have five children, yeah, I can. And of course, how old are you, Eric?
28.
Okay. When I was 28, I don't know if the internet was publicly available. It certainly wasn't in my life when I was 28. So yeah, I can really understand that. I think people imagine, because I know people often sort of project this onto me. Well, you're a minister, so you don't really, you're not really a human being.
Oof. Oof. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of multiplied by 10 because of the whole celibacy thing.
Yes.
And you know, it is a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that you can run away from, and you can run away from even without committing a sin of commission, you know? So you can, I remember I was listening to, this was way back in the 90s, Father Larry Richards would put these tapes out. And while we were driving to and from school, my mom would put these tapes in. Andrew, tapes are what we used to have sound on. And he said a point that really stuck with me, you know, all these years later, is like, you know, being a celibate priest can be a very selfish lifestyle. It could be a lifestyle of great selfishness. And he had been a priest for a while at that point. He had seen other priests who were on fire and priests who have gone cold. So yeah, it's like I come home and I've got my boss, Father Dale, and, you know, it's like we come home, we don't have kids running around, we don't have a wife asking us to do things. You can live a pretty, you know, physically comforted and mentally distracted life if you want to. And not falling into that trap is hard. And there were certain supports that I had gotten used to in the seminary, you know, when you're around all the guys. Yep. And you get out into a parish, that kind of changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's helpful. Thanks. Jeff, how about you? What did you write? What was your why?
Well, I wrote out a why. I joined in on this thing in the 11th hour. Like, I saw Andrew mention it on the other server because he tagged me. I'm typically not over in that sorting yourself out or whatever. I don't even know the name of it, but he tagged me in it. And I didn't really even realize what it was about. I heard Joe mention that he was going to be gone from Discord for like 3 months. And I turned to my wife, who, you know, has a little bit more of a liturgical tradition than I'm used to and than I grew up in. And I said, hey, I think Job's given up Discord for Lent. And she said, really? I said, yeah, he's going to be gone for 3 months. Is Easter 3 months from now? She's like, no, Lent is not that long. I was like, oh, okay, well, he's gonna be gone for 3 months. And I didn't think anything of it. And so just to tell a little bit of a backstory, you know, we started this the week after all of the Christmas holidays, right? So I think January 4th was the first day of this Exodus 90 thing. So I had the whole week off from work. And I didn't realize this leading up to it. And when I ultimately decided to do Exodus 90, this is in retrospect that I'm now starting to realize kind of some of the why behind why I even agreed to do this in the first place. But that whole week that I had off from work, I felt starved for me time, for being able to sit down and relax and rest and binge all of the shows that I wanted to watch, you know, on the various streaming services, to catch up on things, to watch and listen to things that I haven't been watching on YouTube and podcasts and stuff like that. And it just felt like almost at every turn that want to have my own time and do things for myself just kept being thwarted. And it just kept, you know, feeding and making me feel, and you know, days kept going by on my time off, and I'm just like, oh, there's so much more that I want to do. I want to finish The Office, because I haven't watched The Office all the way through, and they're about to take it off of Netflix and stick it on Peacock, and I'm not going to pay for Peacock. So all of this time is dwindling away, and I'm not getting to watch what I want to watch. I'm starting to like ignore my family so that I can binge through all of these things. And that weekend following the week off, I just felt horrible. I felt like, and I'd also just been eating terribly as well, because it's just like, you know, it's the holidays. I'm not going to eat normal. I just felt bad physically. I felt bad emotionally. I felt bad relationally. And I wasn't putting those things together. I'm a very kind of self-unaware person, I guess, to a certain extent, like unaware of my emotions and things like that. And so I was on the Discord again, and I just started investigating what Exodus 90, what is this thing that they're talking about? And I look into it, and I see all of the disciplines, and I'm like, well, I've done like 21 day fasts with my church before, of just like media fasts, news fasts, things like that. Sometimes food, sometimes, okay, I'm not going to have any desserts. I'm not going to have any sugar for like 21 days or something like that. So I'd done those kind of things before, and I was just looking at it and saying, is this feasible? Could I pull something like this off? And then they also recommend, hey, don't just jump right into this and do it without talking to your circle, your family, the people that this is going to impact. Even if it does seem like good things, there's also some things that you're committing to in here where it's going to be taking time away from them, and it's going to be taking away the part of you that you're used to. So I sat down with my wife and kids and just started talking through, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What do you guys think about it? Do you think it's wise to try and do this right now? How's this going to affect us? How's this going to affect our routines? And we were able to come to, you know, a consensus and some negotiation on how we would navigate all of that. And so I jumped in. Like, it was probably an hour before there's a meeting before you start it of everybody who's in. And about an hour before that meeting was going to start, of the people who had already committed to it, like probably a week ago, I said, hey guys, is it all right if I join this? I'm really thinking about jumping in. I just want to sit in and make sure I understand what it is that we're doing. And so I did, and I joined it. And then after I had committed and joined was when I did the official writing out of my why. And so here was the why that I came up with, again, not connecting anything that was happening in me and what took place that week before, where I was just trying to sacrifice everything else for myself, for what I wanted to do. I wrote down, I want to lessen the burden I place on others through my selfishness and brokenness and increase my capacity to carry their burdens. I want to be free of the bondage of using food as a comfort and the bondage of personal pleasures brought by movies, TV, podcasts, and YouTube videos, and be able to be fully present for my wife, children, family, friends, acquaintances, enemies, and strangers. And I want to clear the way to hear God speak and to trust and obey. So that's my why.
It's a good why. It's a good why. Okay, well, how about first reactions now that you've completed it? What were your first, I mean, when, go ahead, Joe.
What, like when it was done?
Yeah, when you were done.
Thank God, hot showers.
And this don't lie, you all feel the same way. It's got to be cold in North Dakota.
So I actually took a trip to Florida in early February, and the showers were noticeably warmer down in Florida.
I also had a trip to Florida as well, and it was nice.
It's sounding like a loophole, okay?
Look, it was as cold as it could go, and I was still like, this is lukewarm. My showers in Maine get way colder than these.
The river that's two blocks from my house had, you know, a foot of ice on it. So,
yep, so did mine.
So maybe next year, instead of bathing in the home at all, you go out there with an axe and do the plunge in the river.
Oh, yeah.
Now the soap's bad for the environment.
I'll tell you, Paul. So this isn't the entire group. There were more people, but yeah, they're not in this call. One of them is Jonathan, and this guy is a machine. He goes for these long runs and he exercises so much, and then he takes ice baths.
Yeah, so, that was something he started.
There's a man among men.
Yeah, that was just really impressive. Like, here I go on the end of cold water, oh, so cold. And he's just, you know, taking ice baths. So
he started doing that because of like how much he started to run, like towards the end.
Yeah.
He started to like run like so much more that he needed to do the ice baths.
So what surprised you either about the process or yourself?
Oh, I was so horribly addicted to YouTube. and so I go on Exodus 90, and I still have somewhat a grapevine. There's an, you know, there's the voices list I'm on. Like Peterson comes back, something with a Times interview. Paul starts churning out content, and here I am in my cold shower, and I can't watch any of it. That was awful. Like, oh no, oh yeah. All the commentary. Oh, the Discord must be on fire with this stuff.
Yeah, during when Peterson came back.
And I had all the servers closed off and sitting in a folder. But at some point, there were like 50 notifications to me, like mentions, like, oh, no. But I didn't, can't watch him. So that was tough.
Okay.
How much I was, and I recognize what Jeff said in his backstory, the need to turn your brain off. To just kind of watch something and not have to be consciously aware of your own wretched existence, but you kind of numb it with, I don't know, some terrible TV show like The Office. So, but yeah, how was that for anyone else?
What surprised you?
I think what surprised me was how that strong desire for, I guess what surprised me is how effective it was at forming me.
What was forming you? The Exodus 90 or?
The Exodus 90.
Okay.
How effective it was at maybe reforming me. Would be a better word to use. Because everything that I had described in that week of, you know, want for gluttony of TV and food and time to myself, how this process in the midst of it was just like reforming me as I submitted myself to, okay, because the other thing is you got to get at least 7 hours of sleep. I think, I don't remember if that's one that we mentioned. You got to get at least 7 hours of sleep. And you got to do a holy hour of like a combination of, you know, scripture and prayer. So that right there takes making sure that your schedule is pretty organized and that you're going to bed at a decent hour because you got work too. Yeah. You got other obligations, right? So as I forced myself to be submitted to this, there was really no time for me time in there anymore. It wasn't even on the docket. It wasn't even I guess what I'm trying to say is it took away from me that desire to say maybe it took away from me that lamentation of when am I going to get to do what I want to do? Because I submitted myself to this and all that there was you find yourself straying toward your smartphone, you find yourself straying toward the internet, and with the whole checking in with your, you know, your anchor, your buddy each day, you're checking in those things. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to mess around on my phone, but I found myself doing it. I wasn't supposed to go on the internet, but I did it. So that kind of helps reinforce your ability to catch yourself when you're about to do it. So with me then starting to build in that muscle of catching myself instead of, you know, I really don't want to get into my check-in and say, yeah, I went ahead and did it. So when I have that built in catching myself, that catch myself also then started to come with, there's got to be something better I can do with my time. than what I was going to do just then. And sure enough, there was. It was either getting back to work and being a good employee, or, oh my gosh, this thing in the house needs attention. Or, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to my wife in 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I haven't talked to one of my family members. Let me go see if there's how they're doing. Is there anything that they need? So it reformed me from being focused on, oh, when am I going to get to do what I want to do? Well, the answer to that question is not until Easter, at least. And so it took away that excuse that I had to even wonder when I was going to be able to do what I want to do.
Okay.
It formed that, it kind of weakened that little voice, I guess.
Very well said, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah. I would kind of second that feeling of like, it definitely like changed how I thought about my time and like what I can do. I mean, I don't have a family because I'm only 20, so I don't have to worry about that. And actually for the beginning portion, really actually only towards the end did I have I got a job up in Maine. So for a good portion of time, I was for January, I was in New Jersey with my parents. And then I was up here February and March. But I still had things to do. Like there was commitments that I have at my parish and my church. So that I had to attend to. So that was something that like kept me busy to do. And then just being able to like do things that, you know, I did want to do, but that were, you know, compatible with the Exodus 90. So like reading, or I got a lot of reading time in. It was great.
Yes.
How
about you, Eric? I would imagine, at least for me, fasting and various kinds of fasts are not alien to me in terms of, because I don't know how it is. I would imagine it's probably even more so with your tradition, but my tradition over the last 40 years has been dabbling with fasts, and they sneak off to Roman Catholic monasteries and, you know, don't let the ancestors know and all those kind of things. So what surprised you about these last 90 days for you?
There was something about the asceticism that made me feel a little more like not just a priest, but also being more, especially as Fulton Sheen says, being that priest victim, which was a major theme of his book, The Priest Is Not His Own. It's an absolute gem. And so I would find myself on a fast day, and I like food. So these fast days were like, stay focused. Or getting into a cold shower, and it being like some story from the parish, somebody's got trials going on, either themselves, bad health, or something they're dealing with, or a family member, lots of family members. And I just like spontaneously find myself offering up time on the elliptical machine, and just being like, for X, for Y, for Z. And just, you know, it's like, I know penance is good. I know why we do penance, really experiencing it and being like, oh yeah. And this is more than just about, you know, Eric Seitz as a Christian. This is also Eric Seitz is a priest, Father Seitz. He's doing this for his people, his family, really. And that's what the parish ideally should be for even a parochial vicar like myself, is this is kind of your family. This is who you offer yourself up for. Yeah. When you get that call at midnight to go to the hospital, you throw on your clothes and you get there.
Yeah. Good. What disappointed you about the fast? Anything? How are you disappointed in anything? Maybe yourself.
I like at towards the end, actually, like Job asked everyone, like, would you do this again? And at first I was like, maybe, And then I was like, towards the end of the week, towards actually the last week, I was like, yeah, I want to do this again. Because like, I felt like I hadn't done as good of a job as I could have with it all. There's definitely like some points that like, I was just like, oh, I could have definitely done better.
Is your without question saying about too much, I'm sorry, Joe. I just wanted to say Andrew's being way too hard on himself. He did a really good job. There were mitigating circumstances, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Paul, what's your question about Exodus in general or only the fasting aspect of it?
Either. I mean, in almost everything, there's something surprising that you learn about yourself or the process. And there's almost always something disappointing.
Oh, I'll tell you a funny story. I'll tell you multiple funny stories. So first off, see, at some point I was like, if this Christianity goes any further, at some point I was in Andreas's house once. He invited me over to his house. And, I've commented before on how much I enjoy seeing Andreas embody his Catholic faith. And there's like crucifix and he has a prayer corner and there's a Bible and rosaries everywhere. I loved seeing that. I'm like, man, you know, if I ever go this route, I'm going to have like a little prayer space with a crucifix and all that stuff. Turns out I'm absolutely awful at prayer, like terrible. I can't sit still for 5 minutes. And then I start thinking about work, or I start thinking about some programming problem or about something else going on. So the only thing that sort of ground me was just repeating the Orthodox prayer to myself. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's, but yeah, they are not really contemplating. You're just trying to ground yourself. So that was a good insight. The fasting, I already eat keto, so I'm used to kind of just, you know, maybe eating once a day and not eating sweets and not eating sugar. So that
why'd you go without meat on Wednesday and Friday?
Fish.
Oh, yeah. There are always great fish in New Jersey.
Remember, this is a Catholic program.
Yeah, I know. In New Jersey, there was always great fish available on Fridays. And it's like, oh, it's a Catholic thing. All right, I like fish.
Speaking of Catholic things, and this is a funny story because... You know, I like the Catholic tradition. I like their liturgies. I like elements, the arts, the sounds, the smells. But there's also a lot about Catholicism I don't know. And this program is particularly Catholic. So I had to learn about things called solemnities. And I don't know anything about that. And the Roman Catholic Catechism, which is like really different from the catechism I was used to. So... But at some point, I'm kind of getting up to speed. We were going to start with this Exodus, and I'm reading the field manual, and it says...
That's your catechism? It's that fat? Ours is this fat.
Sorry, I knew that was going to happen. My bad, Joe.
It's a hefty boy.
See? See, it's the Reformed. We keep it brief. Yeah. I've got hours of video on that.
We got lots of time.
It's when... Who said? I think John Henry Thoreau wrote somewhere like, "Simplify, simplify," and then Emerson replied, "One simplify would have been enough." So, where was I? I was reading up in the field manual. So this is whole field manual to this Exodus thing, and it says, "If you pray, it's best if you pray in front of a Eucharistic Lord." Like, all right, I have no idea what that is, so I'm gonna look it up. Okay, it's this weird golden-looking spiky thing. I wonder where I can buy one, because then I have to put it to my house somewhere. Turns out you can't buy those anywhere. They're supposed to be in a church. But those are things as a Protestant I didn't know, and I found hilarious on finding out what it was really about.
Yeah, and we had to break it to him that he couldn't buy the Blessed Sacrament. And if he did, I would be upset.
Yeah.
Imagine if he came over to
North
Dakota.
Just order it on Amazon. Blessed Sacrament. Is that in Prime? Can I get that tomorrow?
How often has it been prayed to? Yeah. But those were kind of fun things you find out, and more things about the Catholic tradition. I'm trying to remember, Father Eric, but at some point you explained a bunch of things to us, and you had this really thick book about like Catholic code book or something.
Oh,
like
the code of canon law.
That was like, wow, you know, like,
that's
these people, yeah, I know, right? That's like
it's okay. Only the nerds have to deal with this. The no. lay folk don't have to deal with it at all without the assistance of a fully qualified and licensed nerd.
I feel some iconoclasm breaking out.
Feels good to be in a hierarchy, you know? That thing is full of rites for the lay folk. It's full of rites for the priests, rites for the bishops. Rites, oh. R-I-G-H-T-S.
Yeah,
rites.
Like where are the responsibilities?
But, there's
yeah.
responsibilities too.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Anyone else on disappointments?
So since Easter, I've been binging, and that's not what I wanted to have happen. And then it went and happened, you know. So there's a disappointment right there. But yeah. It's not like a hopeless thing because I know what I've done. And I know how to get back to it. And I know I'm less happy now than I was a week ago. Mm. You know, cold showers, fasting, all of that. Yeah. So
you know Eric, you can do it. Like, I mean, I've been going like to town. Like I had a pint of ice cream. So
but guys, Jeff and I are doing the follow-up program, the 21-day reflection oasis. You can join.
It's yeah, fine. we're doing the reentry, the gentle yeah. reentry program.
So the two non-Catholics are doing the gentle reentry, and the two Catholics are eating pints of ice cream on YouTube. What's See, with this?
It's funny because yeah. like the first day I'm out of this program, I start going back into the Discord and talking to people, and I get drawn right into Reformation theology. So right now I'm reading about Rookmaker and Doyeweerd and all those interesting people.
Wow.
So yeah, let's see where that goes. Anyway, sorry, that's just the top of my mind right now.
Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I mean, like specifically, like my disappointment was mostly in my fasting ability. I'm terrible at fasting. I love food too, so like I did not do very well on most of those. But yeah, I mean, like out of it, like I got a good, sorry, Jeff, you go.
Oh no, mine wasn't anything that I think is of any significance. My biggest disappointment was as soon as I started it, the thing that I thought was going to be easiest for me ended up being the one that I needed the most, you know, help with, and that was the cold showers. For some reason I thought that I was just, oh yeah, cold showers, that's a breeze, because I've gone through stints where I've taken cold showers before. But what I started to realize was I was taking my cold showers in Texas in the summer, and Texas also through this got hit with one of the coldest times that it's ever had, at least in my area. So the cold showers, I was disappointed that I wasn't able to do those as easily as I thought I would be able to.
What did you learn about your faith?
Surprisingly, I learned like a couple of things like that I didn't know about like Catholic teaching and theology, which was nice. I mean, I did expect to learn some things, but from the readings, those were very like helpful. And like having them like point to the catechism and like crack that open a few times was very nice to do. But I think for me, like during the prayer times, like that was the one point that I did very well at. Like I could do like I can do a holy hour like any day. Unless as long as I'm not like about to fall asleep, like I can do it. So, you know, I learned a lot about myself through prayer. And that was, I think, where I was able to keep on going, through this was through the prayer time. And like, but yeah, having like a total trust. You know, definitely like at points throughout this, like I was like, okay, I need to have a total trust that I'll be able to get through this through God's grace. Because there were definitely times when I was like, I don't know what's happening. There's a lot of really nasty things happening. But as long as I'm able to like keep going through the next hour, and I'll be able to like go through the rest of the day, and it won't like hopefully nothing terrible will happen. So.
Okay, good.
I would like to hijack that a bit, Andrew, because I think this is also where the fraternity aspect of Exodus 90 came through as why it's there and why it's important, because you were able to reach out to us and say, hey, yeah, you know, there's some things and can I talk? So
yeah, definitely. There's, yeah, without, like, I don't think I want to speak for you guys, but like, I don't think any of us would have made it through the 90 days by ourselves.
Yeah.
Without like checking in every day. Like, I mean, I would have been toast. I actually didn't have an anchor for a few days. One of the guys just dropped off. We haven't actually heard from him, but and he was my anchor, and I was like, I didn't have anyone for like a couple of days until I hopped on with Jeff and Father Eric. And those like 3-4 days were like really hard, because like I didn't have the voice in my head like, oh, I have to write out or like tell them that I totally like messed up in this aspect today. I was just like, I could eat some chocolate. I could eat a cookie. No one will know.
Anyone else? What did you learn about your faith?
So I guess I just learned the degree to which I'm still a sinner in need of God's mercy and in need of being made new. So I've been running Parish YouTube channel and making, so my pastor goes and asks me to make weekly gospel reflections in December. And I'm like, I could do something really pious and sweet and we'll have 5 people watch those. Yeah. Or I could try and make something funny and see if we could get people a little more interested in and then smuggle Jesus in with the humor. So I went the latter route. And, you know, so that was part of work, and I would be working on my computer. I'd be pulling clips from YouTube, doing all that stuff. And then I would find myself like every hour, every half hour, like checking the YouTube statistics, like, oh, I got 2 views in the last hour. Wow. You know, and it's like, oh man, like that's the prodigal son eating the pig food right there. You know, it's like, oh, that's what you're going to go for. You need that digital stimulation that badly where you're just going to like spam the weather report and the YouTube statistics. Like, oh gosh. So it's like, yeah, it's not terribly surprising that this week back would be a little bit of a whiplash in the wrong direction. Yeah. That's who I am. That's what I'm dealing with.
Anyone else on what did you learn about your faith? Now, Job, like I said, 3 years ago, I mean, you and I have had conversations all along the way, and so you, and I have it on YouTube, your atheist confessions, and me laughing at you.
You do that a lot. It's really
you're just
hurtful.
A funny guy. I laugh a lot anyway, so don't take it too personally.
It's fine, Paul.
So what is, I mean, this is, in some ways, this is you sort of diving into the deep end. I mean, you not only did Lent as, I don't know how much your local church is into the liturgical calendar, but you not only did Lent, you dove into the deep end of Lent, which is kind of you. I mean, what did you learn?
That's it's such a hard question. I don't know if I learned a thing. No, I probably did. No, but jokes aside, look, I like I said, I learned I'm better prayer. But I also had some really great prayer sessions when they were there, just pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some really thankful prayers. I've learned to putting God as the primary focal point of your day and asking yourself who you would be if you were a representative of a holy God in everything you did is formative. And I think that puts me as close to how I remember feeling when all this stuff started. And yeah, maybe that's just, maybe people sometimes have great prayers and not so great prayers, but it at least helps me to think of the people around me. And maybe I can drop a card off at somebody or send somebody a message. And yeah. I don't know if it's really difficult to formulate that in the context of having learned something, but it probably fits.
Learning isn't just sort of analytical.
Which
something like this teaches you, because it's very much whole body learning.
I learned a bunch about Christ. A lot of the times the readings we do end with telling you to focus on Jesus and what he does and marvel at the way that Christ does. The language sometimes sort of was interesting to me, but I read a bunch of that. I read Tim Keller's last book, Hope in Times of Fear, which was particularly good. No, Paul, resist.
I can at least get the sample.
See, technically, I think I violated Exodus by buying that book, but I don't think it wasn't a necessary purchase at all, because it was actually a great addition. I can justify this to myself till the cows come home. But I bought a book during Exodus, and I probably shouldn't have.
I bought Jordan Peterson's new book. You know,
I did.
Full confession. Bless me.
Did you have it on pre-order?
No, I just hopped on my Kindle and got it.
Jeff, you have a confession?
I had it on pre-order.
I bought it too.
In that book, he bases a lot on he quotes N.T. Wright a lot in The Resurrection of the Son of God.
Yeah.
He really well explains the necessity of Christ for a broken world. I mean, and the world's broken, no matter how you put it, and especially, of course, the last year has confronted us with that even more. So, yeah, what have I learned? Well, those things. I think I've probably learned enough that when my pastor sent me a direct message on WhatsApp like 2 days ago asking, hey, Job, are you willing to confess your faith? I said, yeah, for sure. So on Pentecost Sunday, I will be taking confirmation in the Protestant church. I'm trying not to freak out about that. And part of me is going like, well, you haven't figured this particular aspect out entirely, and you need to fully grasp like atonement theory and catechism. And I think what Exodus in that sense taught me is that stuff isn't really what matters. It's important that you're focusing on what's of most important in your life without all the distractions that you would normally engage with. And like most of the time, that's another person, like my wife, who's, you know, now in her third trimester, and that's becoming more complex, and the people around you, the anchor you're anchored with. Again, like Andrew said, I was anchored up with Dennis, and I was, you know, an anchor for him as he was for me, and we both pulled each other through. So it helping to form you in a way that aims you outward and helps you just to Yeah, stand near God in that way. Anyway, I'm rambling. So, yeah.
Good ramble.
That's that.
Yeah. I think, like, real quick, like, it got me out of, like, the heady theology space of Discord, which is very, like, it's great, like, to know theology, but it's also, like, not necessary for prayer. So it was, like, very much, like, going from very, like, lofty cloud space to down on your knees prayer.
Yeah.
Mine was tied to prayer as well. Whether it's learning or being changed or whatever the right word for it is, my relationship to prayer has been altered by this to a certain extent. I got a lot of books digested through all of this too. I'd never read The Pilgrim's Regress, one of Lewis's books, all the way through. And I did get all the way through it this time. And one of the things that he talks about in there, or maybe I read it in a commentary, was, you know, the landlord, the God figure in that book, has these rules that nobody can keep. People try to keep them, but they just can't. Some people don't try to keep them, and they definitely don't. And the theme, one of the themes that runs in there is the landlord, the faith that you have, the trust that you have, is that the landlord will make you into the type of person that can keep the rules. It's not anything that I can do to form myself into the type of person that can be in line with the spirit and intent with the person behind the law. And so early on when I started doing the prayer, I was like really excited because there was this scaffolding that they had laid out of, you know, do your first 5 minutes on this and then 15 minutes on this and 15 minutes and then 20, you know, and it gets you to an hour.
Yep.
I'm just like, oh, this is cool. I can follow a process. This is really neat. And, you know, it was novel. And after about the first week and a half, I was just like, man, these were really good prayer times. And now it's just, I don't feel like I'm doing anything, or it doesn't feel the same way. And it's just, am I even doing anything here? Am I doing it wrong? Or I feel like I suck. And what I started to learn in this process is it's not about how successful I feel like my prayer time is. If I feel like I'm hearing something, which there were a couple of times in here where I think, and I shared it, you know, in my group where I thought I heard something very clearly. And, you know, I got caught up on Peterson's talk with Pajot after Easter, and, you know, he talks about the conscience, and it's just like, yeah, it's something that you don't rule. If you could, you would just form it to tell you that you're doing everything right all the time. And so there was something that came in prayer that was definitely in line with conscience and not something that I would have said that I need to work on.
Yeah.
But it was a revelation too. It was like, oh, I never would have put that together. But that didn't happen a lot. But what I learned from it is that's okay, because this prayer is, this prayer time, this dedication of time, is a process of putting me before, putting myself, putting my being before the thing, the person, the being, whatever it is that you want to call it, that is capable of changing me for the good. And in the midst of this entire framing, and, you know, we go back to our whys, our reason why, making us into the types of beings that are doing things for the good, but for the good of that source of goodness itself and for the good of others. And so the prayer time for me, it's been kind of a transformation into, oh, this is about trusting that God is doing something to me and in me, and for me and for others, whether I have any sense that it's happening or not in the moment or even down the line. It's just about, all right, well, this is ultimately why I'm praying. As I think about it, I'm praying because I'm submitting myself to this idea initially that this is for the good, but ultimately I am trusting that I'm asking for something and I'm going to be given something as good, but by all probability, far better than I can imagine that I'm asking for. And if I'm praying, that's ultimately why I'm doing it. Otherwise, there's no reason for me to pray at all.
Now, while you guys were out in the desert or sitting on your poles or shivering in your cold showers, stuff happened out there in the world. You guys started on January 4, and, you know, depending on your specific regimen, you were part of what Bridges of Meaning, Discord, other avenues offer us are spaces to talk about things that are important to us. And you guys were cut off from some of those things. So what happened that you sort of want to talk about? And you can, you know, throw it out here, right now, if you want to. I mean, let's see, if you were gone 90 days, I probably made 90 videos. So, you know, yeah, you're not going to catch up. You now have my permission. You don't have to try to go back and watch them all. You have my permission.
Thank you so much.
I was going to see if I could get through them at 4x speed and just catch the gist of it.
Or you can look in the memes channel and find out what's really important, because they never miss the important stuff.
That's where it is.
So that's the thing, right? Whenever I would start to try to launch interesting conversations in the Exodus Discord group, Andrew would call me out on it. So you're trying to turn this into Bridges of Meaning. I'm sorry.
And I'd put one of his emojis in.
Terrible.
He only had two emojis, and it was of Job's face.
Awful.
Oh, I mean, something that came into my life, and here's another surprise that I wasn't expecting, was me and Jeff became friends, you know? And he's telling me about his life, you know, wow, everything's crazy in Texas right now. I'm going through this at my job. I'm thinking about making kind of a major life decision here. I had a fight with my wife. I've got this thing going on with my children, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I was under the impression that fights with wives are a fairly common fixture of married life.
It's fair game.
That's okay. Any married person that's not fighting with their spouse, I don't know if the marriage is alive.
Yeah. You know, and then I'm telling like, oh, hey, I've got this going on at the parish, and I've got this going on with my pastor, and oh gosh, I wish you'd turn the TV down. It's right out there. You know, all sorts of little funny little things. And so, you know, it's like, boy, did I miss a lot of news stories, even news stories that happen in the Catholic universe. Yeah, I missed a lot of news stories, and I'm still here, but I got a couple new friends, you know, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And missing out on those news stories, it's like, you know, gosh, a lot of it's just kind of like, oh, nobody's going to be talking about this in a week. Like, this ultimately doesn't matter. Yeah. Or even if it does matter, it's a part of processes that are so gigantic and out of my control that thinking about them is only going to make me angry.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's spend less time angry and focus on Wahpeton. That's the town I'm in, Wahpeton. You can Google me. It's not that hard to find me.
What I found difficult was, I'm going to be honest about this because it was kind of difficult. While I started this, there's this thing in the welcome channel where I invite people to contact me to have a conversation. And I figured maybe I should take that away. while I'm gone. No, I won't, because people don't really do that anymore. I don't know what happened, but I got like, it started raining requests. I don't know why. It was really weird. But at some point, I had like a backlog of 15, and they still kept coming. And like, there's so many people who I still need to have a conversation with. If you're listening, I'm sorry. I will get to you. But, and I recorded a bunch, but I tried not to be, you know, at that space too much. So I recorded a few, and I still need to publish them. Like, yes, I know. If I had a conversation with you, I will publish it, I swear. But, I mean, that's difficult, you know, because, and you also, you kind of want to know, because you kind of hear from those people you still talk to, what's going on at the Discord. Like, oh man, I'm missing that. Is everybody doing okay? Are Jacob and Charlie not fighting? Everybody healthy? Are they eating enough? You know, it's like...
Yeah, some people will have left the Discord entirely over these 90 days.
Yeah, and might never see him again.
Yeah.
No, but also a whole bunch of new people. That was really weird. It was so weird to come back. And yeah. Like, I have no memory of this place. Who are these people?
Yeah, there was another general. I was so confused. I come in, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
and the entire entire channel's being dominated by names unfamiliar to me. Like,
yeah,
this is whole new flock. What's going on here? Very, very cool. Like, amazing to see. And so, such great conversations just going on. People having on. I mean, yeah, just can't help but love it.
Well, I'll just tack onto that. I mean, it's also a very good feeling to come back in and realize, oh, wow, this place doesn't need me.
Yes.
For people to flourish. And that's a great feeling. I mean, I'm tempted to say, oh, I feel bad about that. But actually, I don't. I don't feel bad about that at all. It's really good to be able to see just people in there connecting with each other and... I guess I've already said it.
Yeah, I feel like for me, like leaving the Discord, I was like, oh no, I'm going to be missing all these conversations. But it's like, they'll be there at some point, but I don't have to be a part of each one. And that was like part of like letting go of that, which was like really nice to do. So.
Yeah, and long-term members still being there. And,
yeah. You missed Atheist Week and all of the drama around Atheist Week. Poor Joey.
I knew there was going to be some drama.
Joey.
Something happened with Nathan and an engagement.
An engagement. Yes. That's right. We have an engaged couple. We did Atheist Week. We started the whole intergenerational handoff conversations and had a couple of weeks on that in the Q&A on Fridays. Who watched the Peugeot Peterson conversation?
I listened to it.
That was number one.
I would imagine if I was gone and I saw it, but that's number one. That's the first thing I'm going to do. So I want to hear from you. What did you think?
Theosis is Catholic dogma.
There you go.
Woo. Whoa.
Get a potter, ready to go.
Oh, that is a great book.
Good job.
We call it divinization. It's just the Latin instead of the Greek.
I loved it. I've been looking forward to it. Like there were some days where I would go to YouTube. And I checked this in, so it's not a secret to my brothers here.
Well, that's risky business. If I were going to swear off YouTube, I wouldn't want to go anywhere near that domain.
Well, it was not a smart thing to do, but I would go there and I didn't watch any videos, but I would just kind of scroll through and see what was on menu.
Yep. I did the same thing.
It was
I had to stop. It was like playing with fire.
No judgment, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
No judgment, Paul. Yeah. Okay.
It was totally playing with fire. You're just like there and you went, ooh.
So I knew that it was there. And I also did talk to people. You know, I kept in touch with Luke and he would say, oh, there's been, you know, we're all talking about this Peterson Peugeot. I know you haven't seen it. And so I'm not going to, you know, spoil it for you, but there's just some things that are coming up in our conversation. So I had a lifeline with Luke, but
Luke of all people.
But I also saw, you know, that you had made some commentary on it. And of course, you know, I publish everything on the Randos United channel, and there was a conversation between Jess, Luke, Sam, Michael, and Nate. Responding, commenting. And I, you know, one of the things that I worked out with my fraternity and with my wise counselors, you know, and my friends and family at home as well was, you know, what should I do whenever I get a video on Randos United? Because I'm not supposed to be using a computer for, you know, unnecessary stuff. And YouTube is unnecessary. Well, we kind of came to a consensus that, well, this is, you know, I'm still serving the community by making this stuff available. And what I used to do in the past was I'd watch it all. I'd listen to it all. And then that's how I would kind of come up with what the thumbnail needed to look like for each conversation. And, you know, that was kind of my editorial, you know, decision of, okay, here's what the thumbnail is going to be to best represent, you know, what I think kind of the spirit of these conversations are. And so we talked it through and we said, okay, well, what if you, how much time do you spend on that entire process, including watching it? And I'm just like, oh man, that takes like two hours sometimes, even longer. And so what we talked through was, well, how about this? How about if you just ask the participants to do their best job of describing what it is that they think the conversation was about, and to even give you a description if they can. You take that description and then you just come up with the thumbnail off of that. And there was a part of me that's just like, that's kind of taking my creativity out of it. You know, there was a part of me that's just like, no, me. But that's what I started doing. And so for all of the videos that dropped during Exodus 90, all of those thumbnails are just based on my best interpretation of what everybody was telling me about those conversations. Now, I was in a couple of them, so I didn't go back and watch them, but I knew what to do on those.
Well, you could have asked the group to do their own thumbnails and titles too.
That is true, but that's given up too much of my selfishness, and I'm not formed that far yet.
That's what I would have done. Say, so y'all make your thumbnail, tell me the title, I post it. Done.
That's because you're a good pastor. You're good at
delegating.
Yes. But it did whittle my time down from like 2 hours to maybe about 30 on average, 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So anyway, the reason that I bring all that up is because the conversation where they were commenting on the Peugeot Peterson was one where I put the thumbnail out there. And then something crazy started happening. It's just like, that's the video on Randos United that by far has the most views.
Oh, it's the Peterson Peugeot thing.
And so I reached out to them, but it's weird because I've had, you know, we've had Peterson in the discussion before. There's a thumbnail where Peterson's like in the, it's him, you know, it was me, Nolan and Luke talking about has Jordan Peterson succeeded, things like that. And the only thing that I can think of is like maybe you, Paul, or somebody else with a lot of followers retweeted it or something like that. But anyway,
I did retweet it.
Okay. So that's where I think all of the views came from. But
I pushed it pretty hard.
That's just building towards, oh my gosh, I really want to watch this. So that was some news that came out. But yeah, the video itself, once I got to watch it, I was actually listening to it when I was standing in the parking lot of a church, kind of directing people where to go. I was listening to it on Easter Sunday. And oh man, it was so good. It was so good to listen to. I even actually had somebody else reach out to me that's a minister up in New York City. And she sent it to me. She's like, she sent me a clip of where Peterson starts breaking, talking about Christ. And she says, oh, I just saw this and I thought it was so amazing. And I thought of you, you know, she's not into Peterson or anything like that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, I'll watch this on Easter and I'll let you know what I think. but yeah, I just thought it was really good. I'm still processing it. I'm still actually working my way through that Randos United commentary video, because number one on my list was the actual conversation, and two, Paul, was your commentary, your commentary videos on it. And then I wanted to get to the Randos United.
Yeah, there's only 5 hours of commentary on it. So.
Right. So one other thing that I've learned how to do through all this, and then I'll stop talking and let somebody else go, is I have started listening to audiobooks on like at least double, sometimes three times speed. So I have been able to get through these now, these conversations a lot faster.
All right.
My brain is too slow for that. I actually listened to it on a car ride. I was driving, so I was like, well, I either listen to music, but I could also listen to this. And it's like, you could probably listen to it and not be like, well, I did it. So, and I don't know. I actually kind of don't remember it super well. So I don't have too much to say about it, but I did think it was there was that point with Theosis and Jonathan Peugeot, like not totally like knowing that it was a Catholic teaching, but.
And that's on us. Like,
yeah, it is. That should it really be a is.
Gem of our doctrine. It I've is. Been reading this. It's lovely. That's the central point. And
I feel like it's stuck in like John of the Cross. St. John of the Cross. I feel like he talks about it, but.
Go ahead, Job.
What I found interesting about Peterson and Peugeot is I did not expect Peterson to be almost visibly reluctant at the points where he was. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but at some point it doesn't strike me that at some point he almost was like a logical positivist in the sense that, you know, I need to have empiricist truth. Like, have fun, buddy.
Without a reason. I never do anything without a why.
Yeah. Like, well, but like this from the guy who got my ball rolling. I mean, who got me to, oh, people don't think the way they think. We're way more complex. We are, I mean, he knows all this. He talks about it. So what's, and I'm listening to it like, but you're already there. You were there earlier than most of us. Your elephants figured that out. So what's going on with you? And I recognize so much of that. That I think that's why it sort of irritated me. Like, come on, man, you can do this. If you can do it, I can do it. Come on.
Just the other way around. If Job can do it, Jordan can do it. That's what you meant.
No, that seems profane. No, that. but it's almost Kierkegaardian.
Yeah.
And
well, the problem is if you don't leap, sometimes God shoves.
Well, but he sees Tammy, and he sees what's going on, and he wants that. But he can't make himself because he think I mean I'm projecting, but I think he would think he betrays himself.
Yeah.
Let it rumble. I mean, eventually, yeah, further up, farther in, he's already almost there.
How much it was his own that physical pain that he's dealing with that he's
and yeah.
I wanted to give him Colossians 1:24 and a very Catholic interpretation of it, where his sufferings can be meritorious and satisfactory. Understanding it, because, you know, if you're baptized and have faith, then it's Christ who's living in you, and Christ can also die in you. So
yeah, it was quite a conversation. Anything else you guys want to touch on? We've gone for, you know, coming up on an hour and a half here. Anything you wanted to get out? Would you recommend this process for people?
Yes. I want to promote it at the parish next year. I have to get my pastor's consent to do that. He doesn't seem too keen on the idea. So I'm going to pray to St. Joseph to change his mind.
Good old St. Joseph.
COVID makes this harder. Like if you're in a group and you can meet in person and go to mass together, and go on a hike, like they actually recommend that you do, that would make a big difference.
Well, I live in a red state, so we could just do that.
Bless you.
COVID doesn't exist in
North Dakota. It don't.
You only got 8,000 people. You know, somebody gets the bug, you're done. You know, it's a whole town. Okay, we're done.
But it's not the Black Plague. We remember the Black Plague.
Still got the clothes to show for it.
Mm-hmm. But as far as recommending it, yeah, I think so. You got to know what you're doing. And you got to kind of be prepared that the first 3 weeks are going to be rough. And then you kind of, I mean, like, well, what I found interesting is that I think it took me 2 months to kind of start noticing what it was doing. And my prayers started getting better. And I started to notice how much more focused I was and how little time I was spending, you know, with irrelevant stuff. And but now I'm over halfway. Why didn't I figure this out earlier? Well, I couldn't have because I wasn't yet there when I was there.
Right.
Weird as that's like a Yogi Berra thing I just said. If you prepare somebody for that, it's fine. And now it's like, okay, it's done. Well, more. I mean, I still did a cold shower even when I didn't have to because I kind of felt weird not to take one. And I've stopped that since, to be honest, but I probably should keep doing those once in a while. But like, you know, I wanted to do the continuing program and Jeff, you know, also wanted to. So it's kind of nice to be still in a place where you are continuously encouraged to be focusing on what's important.
Well, Job, Lord willing, you're going to have a child and, then starts what one of my pastor colleagues calls baby boot camp. And you'll have a new brand of asceticism coming down your way. And there's a pretty brutal accountability partner in that program that will keep you and your wife focused.
See, everybody keeps saying that, but I just imagine my wife will do everything. And
are we talking about those fights that spouses have? Oh, you got a whole lot of learning coming down your road, Job.
Oh, it's okay. Worry. Every single one of your ancestors going back thousands of years has figured it out. So you'll get it.
Look, at least half of them.
I'm not worried. It'll go over. Okay. Look, I was 10 weeks early and I lived. I mean, if this kid is on time, you know, I'm not too worried. It'll all be, I'll rise to the occasion.
You will. I believe you will, but that will be another learning process for you. Trust me. And a good one. All right. Anything else that we should touch on before we wrap up?
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
I guess I just have an answer to that question, Paul, of whether or not I would recommend it. I don't know if I would necessarily recommend this program for everyone. It takes a lot of, you need to be very deliberative about it before you jump into it. But what I would say as someone coming from a very, you know, what did I say to you, Father Eric? I come from a tradition that's like a schism of a schism of a schism of a branch of a branch. So there's not a lot of asceticism in any of the traditions that I've been in. You know, there's like the closest that I had ever heard about something like that is, oh, spiritual disciplines. You need to read your Bible every day and you need to pray every day. That's about it. Just some different thoughts that come to this that, you know, I would recommend people consider is I've learned that it's good to place limitations on yourself before they're forced on you, because it teaches you how to take those things when they come with much more grace and which with much less disruption. There have been things that have happened in the midst of this that have been very limiting that I don't think I would have handled very well had it not been for some of the training that this had formed in me. And I guess the other thing that I would say is for me and this experience with asceticism is one of the books that I got read, I got like six different C.S. Lewis biographies or C.S. Lewis and Tolkien biographies read through this. But one of the books that I read through was Dreer's Benedict Option. And there was a chapter in there where he talks about going to visit a monastery and he starts talking to the monks about asceticism and what some of the rationale behind it is. And I had just never thought about it that way before, but he focuses on, you know, the original word that asceticism means training. And one of the things that really set with me is, you know, you're not saying no or putting limits on things because they're bad. Like none of these things that we're limiting ourselves from are bad. But you limit it or you say no to it outright. In some cases, for the sake of creating abundance for others. Sometimes that could be food, right? You know, I might want to go eat the last piece of pie, and then, but that means that somebody else doesn't get to have it. I might want to sacrifice this time to my time and attention to this video or this podcast, where it might be a time that somebody else needs my time and attention. And so I want to make that more abundant and available. Several times through this, you know, another thing about this is exercise. And I would go on really long walks sometimes for my exercise. And I would be hit with, don't listen to your audiobook right now. Instead, why don't you call this person? I'm just like, why would I call that person? But I did. And it was a wonderful, life-giving conversation. So I guess that's all that I would say is, would I recommend Exodus 90? If you think about it and you look at it, and again, this is just the way that I did it, and it seems like it's the right thing to do at that time, go ahead and do it. You know, I felt like it was more of a compulsion than anything else that I jumped into it. But if not Exodus 90, I highly recommend that you try even maybe just one thing of limiting or stopping for a period of time that you're committing to and just watching yourself and seeing what changes.
Yeah. Very well said, Jeff. I mean, this program just confronts you with in all the ways you are weak. Like there were at least two times that I had to confess in the weekly check and like, look, I was going to make dinner and I couldn't resist. And I grabbed my laptop and I played a PVK video and I caught myself after 5 or 10 minutes like, no, bad job. And then I had to turn it off. But it's like, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Like, why can't I do the things I want to do and I keep doing the things I don't want to do? So it really shows you how easily you do that and how that part of you that shouldn't have control takes control. And I love hearing from you, Jeff, that you go and walk and instead of listening to an audiobook, you call somebody. And yeah, I think that's exactly the sort of stuff that this program helps you to see. Yeah. So, you know, if you're just kind of happy with the way your slothful, sinful life is progressing, go right ahead. Stay that way. Bye. I can't hear you, Eric.
What did you say?
If
again?
You want to become a man, you got to have Exodus 90.
Oh, right? I love And excellent. Who said something about, oh yeah, you said, right, Jeff, you said that the Protestant tradition doesn't have these types of programs.
Not the ones that I came out of.
Look, you have that painting of Luther. That guy doesn't look skinny. I mean, I'm just saying.
I've been reading this book, Reformations. It's basically history from, I think it's 1450 to 1650. And it covers the various different reformations, the Catholic response, all of that. And the stuff you guys are playing with, there's a lot going on during the Protestant Reformation period of trying to figure out boundaries, excess. And it's a very interesting history trying to sort these kinds of programs out. And it's very interesting stuff. And it's been, my sense is that these conversations have gone on for a very long time within the Christian church, trying to find, trying to, on one hand, affirm the goodness of creation, but also not have our sinful nature run away with us, and to build the rhythms, healthy rhythms, into the life of the church for the saints, for the people to grow and develop. So I'll have to say that when I got wind that who all was not going to be on the server for 90 days, I thought, oh, I'm going to miss these guys. And so it's so glad to see you back. And I'm glad that you all did it. And so, and I think, probably others or even more next year will participate. And I think that's a healthy thing. That's a healthy thing. So.
And yeah. And a shout out to our brothers who aren't here, Jonathan, Mitchell and Dennis. I mean, they were a part.
And Jonathan.
I think I mentioned him.
You did, but I just wanted to make sure he was a part of the whole big shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, they were a part of it for the entire journey. And
pray for Zachary.
Yeah.
He ghosted us.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right.
Anyway, thank you all. I'm going to post this almost immediately because I didn't post anything today. So, and I think people on the server are going to want to see this because we were just in a room right now and it's like, oh, we're going to bug out. But it was just so much joy to see Job and Andrew pop up on the server. It's like, it's resurrection. This is Easter. These guys are back from the dead.
This should top your Peugeot Peterson video reviews.
we'll see. All right, so I'm gonna end the recording, but I want to thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.